going to just kind of hit the highlights this morning of the history of the church, and you can read all about it in the book that you've got after the service, as the pastor has already reminded you. Prior to the beginning of Hales Chapel Baptist Church, there existed a church in the thriving village of Arpsboro. It was the Arpsboro Methodist Church. It was disbanded and moved to Zebulun by the order of the Methodist Conference in 1903. Without a church during these intervening years, the people of the community selected the Hales Public School building as a worship house. The rostrum of the meeting house was occupied by exhorters passing through, itinerant preachers seeking to preach the gospel, and energetic ministers from neighboring churches. The citizens of the community realized the need for a permanent house of worship. One of these citizens, Brantley Richardson, prevailed upon his neighbors to start a church. Gathering on a beautiful Sunday, July 21st, 1918, a faith-filled, God-fearing band made the decision, and on this day, Hales Chapel Baptist Church was organized. They were organized with 27 charter members, and I will read those names. They consisted of Jackson Tippett and wife Molly, Will Bunn and wife Thelma, Mally Driver and wife Annie, Hill Price and wife Roxy, Jimmy Price and wife Ella, Brantley Richardson and wife Dora, Nancy Ellen Driver, Oscar Richardson and wife Lillian, William Allen and wife Nanny, Luke Allen, Harvey Parrish, A.D. Parrish, Charlie Parrish and wife Minnie, Janetis Corbett and wife Octavia, Maybell Savella and Lunette Price, children of Jimmy and Ella Price. Believe it or not, I knew quite a few of these people, so that'll give you my age, and I know a lot of y'all out there remember some of them, too. Out of respect for the donor of the land upon which the old schoolhouse stood, the charter members decided to retain the Hales name. Thus, the church became Hales Chapel Baptist Church, honoring William Hales. Reverend W.G. Hall, a Wakefield resident who was serving nearby churches, became their first pastor. In 1920, land was purchased for a new church building. The purchase price for this 1.125 acres of land was $100. During the pastorate of the Reverend Sloan T. Guy, the church's second pastor, details and designs were drawn up for the construction of a new church building. Very soon thereafter, in 1922, Riding Clark Contractors from Wendell had completed a hulled-in structure at a cost of $2,800. The church building was dedicated on May 25, 1934, during the pastorate of Reverend Theo B. Davis. In the fall of 1958, work began to prepare a site for our present church building. Under the able leadership of our pastor, Reverend Guy Helms, we launched into the building program. On Mother's Day, May 14, 1961, the first service was held in the new brick building that we're in now. In April of 1965, the baptistry was completed. The education building was completed in the spring of 1966. Under the leadership of Reverend Hugh Grimmer, we observed our 50th anniversary on November 3, 1968. January 3, 1971, the church voted to buy the Lloyd Tippett House to be used as a parsonage. 1977-1978 were highly eventful years at Hales Chapel Church. The Baptist men sponsored our pastor, Reverend Bill Davis, on a mission trip to build a church in Ecuador on October 22, 1977. Very honored to have Bill with us today. On July 23, 1978, the church held a dedication service for Reverend William E. Bill Davis and wife Judy as they gave their lives to God's service as missionaries to Bolivia. Our former pastor, Reverend Kenneth Wellman, and his wife Sylvia also accepted the call to serve as missionaries in Grenada. Over the years, more updates and improvements have been made to care for our church buildings. In 2009, Mrs. Mary Esther Van deeded 17.946 acres of land to the church. This property is directly across the road from the church. September 1, 2010, the church body voted to build an open shelter on this property. The shelter has been used for community revival services, spring flings, Easter sunrise service, vacation Bible school, fall festivals, and other member gatherings. Hell's Chapel remains a church on missions, as in the 1970s when Pastors Kenneth Wellman and Bill Davis went to serve as missionaries. The following families have, in recent years, gone into the mission field to follow God's calling and service at home and foreign missions. Jerry and Mary Roper in Thailand, Jordan and Jesse Wilson, East Asia, Corey and Ashley Ickes, Brattleboro, Vermont, David and Caitlin Townsend, Brattleboro, Vermont, Matthew and Shelby Myers, Poland, Keith and Joel Hokett, Ecuador. Other members have also journeyed on short-term mission trips to East Asia, Haiti, Honduras, Jamaica, New York City, Boston, Belize, India, and Romania to serve others and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hell's Chapel continues to be a church deeply involved in local community missions and outreach. Our rich heritage at Hell's Chapel fills us with pride and gratitude for all those who have gone before us and the enormous contributions they have made. All have left a part of themselves to make Hell's Chapel the living entity it is today, one committed to and completely in love with God. We are grateful to all who preceded us and to those who continue to keep the faith with us. It is with humble hearts, faithful to God, for the many blessings He has so richly bestowed upon our church and our community. The members of Hell's Chapel Baptist Church do observe the 100th anniversary of the founding of the church this, the 16th day of September 2018. And we are so glad all of you are here to celebrate with us and worship with us. Praise God.
We're going to be in the book of Joshua this morning. We'll be in several places in the book. Let me begin by giving you greetings from Hugh and Kay Grimmer. I spoke with Brother Hugh on Monday evening, and he assured me that if we needed to counsel because of the storm, he would understand. And I assured him that if he needed to counsel, we would understand. We agreed that they would not even leave until Saturday, until he heard from me. However, I didn't wait until Saturday. I called him again on a Thursday morning, and I told him that with the shift of the storm, that I felt that we were going to miss the brunt of the storm and would probably be having our service on Sunday. However, I knew that with the shift, that his travel plans could be impacted, and he appreciated my early call, and as you can tell, they're not here. They truly regret not being here this morning, but with the change in the direction of the storm, it seemed wise for them not to make the trip with the weather conditions, especially at their ages. And so he regrets not being here, but I assured him that we certainly would understand. Brother Hugh told me a story that meant a lot to his entire ministry that took place when he was here. He had been at the church for about 6 months when someone became upset with him about something, and he actually told me what it was, but that doesn't really matter, and some tensions developed at the church. And Brother Hugh went to one of his seminary professors at Southeastern and asked the professor if he could help Hugh find a new church. And the wise professor told Hugh that he could do that, but he encouraged him instead to stay at the church, to learn from the situation, and to mend fences with those that were upset. And that's what Hugh did. He told me that it was at Hell's Chapel that he learned what it meant to be a pastor and not simply to be a preacher. And he looked back with great fondness upon his time here at Hell's Chapel. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we have some words that were about a time of remembering. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan, where the priests are standing, and carry them with you. Set them down at the place where you spend the night." So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and said to them, "Go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift the stone into his shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you should tell them, 'The water of Jordan was cut off from the front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites.'" And then it goes on in Joshua 4, verses 21 through 24. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your children ask your fathers, 'What is the meaning of these stones?' you should tell your children, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan until you crossed over, just as the Lord your God did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. This so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, that they may always fear the Lord your God." We've already been reminded by the highlights that Brother Larry shared with us about the rich heritage that this church has. There's a lot that we need to celebrate and remember this morning. But I've decided that I'm going to actually give you a chance to help us celebrate this morning. And this isn't just because I had to develop the sermon as of Thursday, but it did help. I want to give you a chance to tell us why you're thankful for this church, what this church has meant to you. It might be a religious encounter. It might be when you came to know the Lord. It could be a former pastor, something that is special in your life that relates to this church. And I just want to give you an opportunity to stand up, and I'd ask that you stand up, tell us your name, and then tell us briefly what you're celebrate and thankful about this church for. Give you a chance. Thank you. All right. Book of Joshua said, "Set up a memorial stones and remember." And that's what we are doing as we come together on this day to celebrate 100 years. And I do encourage you to read through the church history and to keep that as something to just hold on to, and keep that bookmark just to remind you about the heritage of this church. But I also want to challenge us to look to the future. Let me remind you that the book of Joshua not only celebrates the past, but more importantly records the conquest of the promised land that they were to inhabit. They had accomplished much, but there was much more to do. As they moved forward, sometimes they were faithful, sometimes they were not faithful. God blessed them when they were faithful. He loved them and disciplined them when they were not faithful. Hell's Chapel has had a marvelous 100 years of ministry. The church has accomplished much as people have been saved, people have been discipled, people have been called into ministry. People have been called into missions. Mission trips have been taken. Many dollars has been given for missions for taking the gospel around the world. And buildings have been built. To God be the glory. However, the past is a great thing to remember and to celebrate, but it is a terrible place to live. It is great to remember, it is great to celebrate, but it is a terrible place to live. Today's victory can become tomorrow's idol as you worship the victory instead of the Lord of the victory. Today's innovative strategy can become tomorrow's idol as you refuse to change strategies in order to deal with current realities. A few years ago, I delivered the faculty lecture for that semester in chapel at Southeastern, and I dealt with change and the continuing need for change. I stated in that lecture that I don't want to be dead before I am dead. Now think about that. I don't want to be dead before I'm dead. Christians and churches who do not embrace change and move forward are dead already. They just don't know it. So as we celebrate the past, let's rejoice in it, but don't stay there. At another church where I was serving as pastor, I received a scathing letter from a person who had grown up in the community but had moved away. And she was extremely upset that we had plans to cut down two trees and to pave the parking lots. She wanted it to stay just like it was when she was a little girl. Yes, I'm saying that sarcastically. And I shared it with the deacons. And we all appreciated her fond memories. But we also laughed and said, we bet her church has a paved parking lot. And if you remember last week, I shared one of the letters that was sent to us from a former pastor. And he shared how they, put gravel down so people weren't having to come in and track in the mud. And finally we had carpet. Life moves on. Time for us to move forward as well. Let me remind you that land and parking lots and buildings are tools to be used to accomplish the mission of God for a church rather than becoming idols of the past to hold on to. Facilities are not the only thing that we can hold on to from the past. Traditions and practices should be respected, but they should not be set in concrete. What was a good strategy in the past may not be the best strategy for the current situation. We have never done it that way before should not be the motto of any church. We have always done it this way shouldn't be the motto of a church. Just because you've done something in the past does not mean you should continue to do so. Be ready, even as you begin the search for a new pastor, to embrace changes to make Hell's Chapel to be effective in ministry in the present and in the future. Be prepared to let your new pastor to be who he is and to operate within his giftings and his personalities rather than making comparisons to me or to Rick or to Dan or to Andy or to Brother Bill or to Brother Hugh from more than 50 years ago. Remember the past. Don't live in the past. And as you move forward to into the next 100 years of this church, may I challenge us to stay anchored in worship and in the Word. Pastors come and pastors go. I remember a church member, and she's here today, who let me know that she was glad I was here, but she would be here after I was gone. And I agreed, and she will. That wasn't a threat, and some of you probably know who it was. I saw somebody lean over and whisper, I think she's got it right. Hannah, yes, it was your mother. But I did not call her by name, okay? But Booty, it was your wife. Pastors come and pastors go. Church members come and church members go. Leaders come and leaders go. Babies are born, people die. Strategies come and strategies go. Carpet colors come and carpet colors fade. Buildings are built and buildings are replaced. What must never change is the commitment to worship the Lord. What must never change is the commitment to the Word of God. First of all, never change in the commitment to worship the Lord. Joshua 24 and verses 14 and 15. Therefore, fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Which will you worship? The gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates rivers or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living? As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. The people replied, we will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods. And then he goes on and he kind of says, oh, yes, you will. And they go, and then they respond back in verse 21. No, the people answer Joshua, we will worship the Lord. Now, the problem was Joshua ended up being right because they did stray in the future and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But there was a call to worship the Lord. One of the tragedies of a day like today is to celebrate the faithfulness of those who come before you. And as Brother Larry read, I think 27 names of the people that started this church in this community. But to recognize that in some cases their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren have not remained faithful. And although you are here today, maybe that's even you. Maybe the main reason that you are here today is to eat the great food and you just want the pastor to hush and sit down. That may be you. Maybe you're here to celebrate the faith of others that were close to you, but you don't have a personal faith in God today. Maybe you have even had some warm feelings about a church service or a youth event, but that seems like a faint memory to you today. God is saying to you not to live in the faith of others or in the faith of the past, but to have a faith for today. Let today be the day for you to say that you will worship the Lord. May the members of this marvelous church never waver from worshiping the Lord. May Hills Chapel Baptist Church never waver in her commitment to worship the Lord, but may she also never waver in her commitment to the Word of God. At the beginning of this book of Joshua, in Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9, it says, above all, be strong and be very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Hadn't I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Your strategies and your plans may change and actually should change, but never waver in your message. Culture may say there are many ways to God. Culture may say you must be politically correct. Culture may tell you that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere and it works for you. But the Bible says that you must stand upon the Word of God. You must meditate on it. You must observe everything that is written in it. We don't have an option of what we're going to believe because God has already established what we are to believe. And if Hell's Chapel Baptist Church wants to be successful in the next 100 years, it must stand on the Word of God. It must believe the Word of God. It must proclaim the Word of God. It must proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, that works will not get anybody into heaven, that it's only by faith in Jesus Christ can anybody enter into a heaven and a relationship with Christ. It doesn't matter who your grandfather was or your grandmother is. It doesn't matter who your mother is or your father is. You must have a personal faith in Jesus. May this church never waver from that message. May Hell's Chapel Baptist Church always be grounded in God's Word. May you always meditate on it. May you carefully observe everything that is written in it. The church has had a wonderful, marvelous 100 years of heritage already. We have celebrated that. We are looking forward to the future, what God is going to do. And may we continue to be a church that worships God and stands on His Word. God is good. God has been faithful. This church has been faithful. May it continue to be faithful. Let us pray.